I want to read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, please. Matthew, chapter 8. We'll begin our reading, please, at verse 23. And when he, Jesus, was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Now we'll just stop the reading right there and turn over to Mark's Gospel where the same account is given, and we'll begin reading at the same spot. Mark chapter 4. Please, Mark's Gospel chapter 4. Verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And now in Luke's Gospel, we'll read again at the very same point, Luke chapter 8. And verse 24, Luke 8, verse 24, Luke chapter 8, and verse 24, Luke 8, verse 24, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Now, there are skeptics who, when they read different accounts of the same event in three or four different Gospels, as we have read tonight, they say, well, sure, that's just the writings of men. Can't you see? How could you believe that that's really the Word of God? Because it's different in one account than in another. Did it happen one way or did it happen another? Well, I don't have any difficulty like that when I read a story like this. You just fit all the details together. And what one writer wrote is true, and the other writer adds different details because each writer is emphasizing his own point that he is developing throughout the gospel. In fact, the more I read even just the differences from one account to another, from one gospel to another, the more I am impressed by the beauty of inspiration. This is God's word, God breathed. Every word is important. Every word significant. Every word adds to the beauty of the truth that is being conveyed. I want to take this story that we have read tonight. It is a literal story about men that were in danger and needed to be saved from drowning in the sea. But I want to take that story and speak tonight about the truth of salvation that each one in the meeting this evening needs. Not a salvation to be saved from drowning, to be saved from a watery grave, but the salvation that each individual needs to be saved from their sins, to be saved from the penalty of their sins, to be saved from going down to hell for all eternity. I want to tell you tonight that these men that we have read about were men that were stirred up. And all that I want to draw to your attention this evening is just the different prayers in each of the Gospels that these men prayed. Here are men that are very deeply concerned about this matter of their own personal salvation. Now, there were a dozen of them on the ship with the Lord Jesus, but they weren't praying because so-and-so along the way down there, Peter's in danger and he needs to be saved, Lord. This is John praying, wasn't that? And it wasn't that Simon was saying, well, you know, there's, I got a brother on this ship, and I'd like to see my brother saved from drowning in the sea. These men realized, I am perishing. The problem is the problem that's facing me. And whether anybody else on this vessel is saved or not, I must be saved. Now, that's what we're interested in tonight. We would love for those that are here this evening to be singled out by God as a result of their need and to cry to God as these men did. The words that we have read in Luke's Gospel tell us something of an urgent danger that these men felt. As far as they were concerned, it was a question of their condition. Listen to what they're saying. Master, Master, they awaken the Lord Jesus. Master, Master, we perish. These men are not sophisticated and kind of laid back. These men are desperate because of their need. Oh, you say, I can understand that. Sure. They were out there on the sea and the storm was raging around them and the wind was whistling past and the waves were rolling up. And my, every time that ship went over one of those big waves, they wonder, is it going down? Yeah, I can understand why those men would be awakened, why they would be all concerned about their danger. Yes, but I don't understand why you're not concerned tonight. Because your danger is just as real as their danger was. And the problem is men and women are fast asleep in the midst of a raging storm. And there are souls in the meeting tonight, and whether they have ever thought about it before, whether they even choose to believe it or not, they are in desperate danger, and they need salvation more than anything else in all the world. Master, Master, we perish! You see, the problem was, first of all, the wind. And I want to go back to the passage that was read first in the meeting tonight and remind you of what that wind is a picture. Our iniquities like the wind. Our iniquities like the wind. Very plainly what I am saying is this. The reason why you are in danger tonight is told in one very plain old-fashioned word, and that word is sin. You are in danger tonight because your iniquities, like the wind, have caused the storm to rage. What is behind all this great storm that has these men crying out, Master, Master, we perish? It is the wind. You see, if I may go back to that same passage, the season of the year that's in that passage is not the springtime when the buds are coming. And it's not the season when the sun is shining its brightest in the summertime and everything is balmy and bright. The season in that text is the fall. And the leaves have passed their heyday. The leaves have passed the time when they were bright and budding. And the leaves have passed the moment when they were green and flourishing, and now they've come to the point where they are brown and fading. You're not living in the springtime, and you're not living in the summer. You are living in the fall, because yours is a reality before God. And the danger is this, that there may come a gust of wind that will cause that leaf to be taken from its branch and suddenly carried away. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have driven us away. You see, men and women are used to thinking about their sin as an indifferent matter. I can sin all I want, and it doesn't matter just now. Maybe someday I'll have to meet God about my sin. There's absolutely no maybe about it. You'll have to meet God about your sin. Absolutely. And maybe there will be some effects, you know, because you can't just choose to live the way you want to and nothing happens. I want to remind you that it is true for eternity and it is true in life. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And the Word of God says the way of transgressors is hard. You cannot violate God's law. You cannot live in self-will and expect that life is all going to fall into place. There are drastic consequences of sin in the present world as well as in the eternal. But I want you to see that sin is pictured as the wind. At any moment, the enormity of your sin against God could carry you away into eternal judgment at any moment. Your sin is not an indifferent matter. Your sin is not something stored up for a way distant in the future. Your sin is a very present danger. The winds are raging around this vessel, and as these men become conscious of the wind that is roaring about them, they are crying out, "Master, Master, we perish!" At any moment, your sin could suddenly carry you away into the judgment of God. It's not only the wind that's a problem. There is as well the problem of the waves. Because the means are swelling around them that could suddenly cause them to perish. Every time the waves were rolling up toward that vessel, there was a vivid, present illustration that at any moment they might perish. Now that's just exactly where men and women are in the meeting this evening. That's just exactly where young people are in the meeting tonight. Oh, would God that you would see the waves are rolling around you. The fact that you are safe in the meeting tonight, I mean alive, is a reminder of the kind hand of God that has preserved you. Because in the day that is past today, there were sufficient means available that you could have been gone into eternity and never come to the meeting tonight. We are used to looking at things as if we will always live, and then eventually someday bad news comes and we have to die. Could I turn the thing around and impress on you tonight that every moment, every one of us is facing the reality of dying? There's danger all around. And you are sitting comfortable in the meeting tonight and you do not know that the automobile that will be the means of your demise while you are sitting comfortably in the gospel meeting left the garage for its last trip. You do not know that unseen to you there is working in your body what will be the means of your early death. I wouldn't want tonight to introduce the thought of a scare into your mind, but I would like to introduce into your mind the reality of such possibilities that exist. And more than the matter of death as well, let me remind you of what we have been hearing about already. There is around us in the world tonight every evidence that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. We are living in a world that is alive with reminders. Jesus is coming. And I, the Christian, sees them and he sings, "Jesus is coming, sing the glad word, coming for those he redeemed by his blood." And the Christian is longing and looking and waiting. "Master, Master, we perish." It may be tonight, dear soul, that God has brought you to this Tuesday night's gospel meeting for a last invitation, a last reminder. This is salvation available to you tonight. And there's an urgent danger that God is speaking to some soul in the meeting tonight with a last message. And with all our hearts, we believe it is possible that God is speaking to an audience tonight with a last message for all. The waves. And there's the water. Those men are in danger of sinking into a lake that will mean their death. I want to remind everyone in the meeting this evening who has no moment in life when they were saved. You are in danger of slipping into a lake, which is the second death. It is the lake of fire. It may be, dear soul, that your destiny for the fierce burning lake will be sealed in a gospel meeting like this. The urgent danger. I would to God there were some in the meeting tonight that were brought to cry out in the presence of God, and if it meant disturbing the meeting, thank God. Master! Master! We perish! Oh, Lord, I'm in danger of eternal judgment, and my soul is on the brink of eternal ruin! God, have mercy on me, lest I perish eternally in my sins. What we read in Mark's Gospel is the question with a different accent. Now it is a question of the Savior's concern, because the disciples addressed the Lord Jesus with these words, Master, carest thou not that we perish? What an unparalleled discovery they are about to make. They never realized how much the Lord Jesus cared for them. At one cry from his own, he responds immediately to their deepest need. I want to tell you tonight, dear soul, if you but were awakened to the reality of your need, you would find that there's a Savior that cares far more about you than you have ever realized. I was fumbling around for words in the home this afternoon, and one of my good brethren there helped me out with the words of a hymn that I love to sing. Earthly friends may fail and leave us, one day soothe, the next day grieve us, but this friend will ne'er deceive us. Oh, how he loves. Dear soul, I want to tell you tonight that there's a Savior in heaven that cares that you're perishing. There's a Savior that is deeply interested in your present pathway, and there's a Savior that longs to draw you back from the willful way of your sins and longs to bring you into blessing. Why do you think the gospel preachers are all stirred up and preaching about hell and judgment and sin? Dear soul, let me tell you again, with the Savior who loves you, we have some concern for that soul of yours. We care that you're perishing, and we would love to see you delivered from perishing eternally in the burnings of the lake of fire. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Oh, what a discovery is this. They found out that the Savior cared for them. He longed to bless them. I want to tell you tonight, if you ever sink into the burning lake of fire, it may surprise you, but I am convinced from the Word of God that you'll have nothing good to say about God. The flames of eternal judgment will not bring a heart to repentance. But you will not be able to justly accuse God and blame Him that you are there. There's a God that loves you and has made every provision that you might never be in the lake of fire. For God so loved the world. I want to tell you there is something encompassed in the scope of that verse that is beyond all that you or I or all of us together have ever gathered in our minds. For God so loved the world that He moved all of heaven, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Oh, if I could only tell you tonight how He loves you. We sang it at the opening of the meeting. And if we could through that lonely garden go, if I could tell His dying pain and pardon, you would worship at His wounded feet, I know. There are souls in the meeting tonight, and you're longing for love. Someone to really care for you. If you go to any other fountain than this, you are going to be disappointed. At best, you will have second best. The longer I live, the more I am amazed at the love of that Savior for me. Oh, when I took it in when I was 16, as a guilty sinner on my way down to hell, when I took it in that the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me, that was wonderful. It has become more wonderful to me to the present moment. Not simply that he loved me and died for me. I am living every day in the blessed experience of this. The same one that loved me, loves me with a love that has never changed. And every day there is shining round my soul a love that is beyond all that I have ever comprehended. Oh, dear sinner, if you only knew the Savior. He cares that you're perishing. And he longs to bring you into blessing. Not only blessing in this life, in the world to come, rather. Not only blessing that you might not perish, but blessing for this life. There is no life, let me say it as emphatically as I can ever say anything, there is no life on earth to be compared with the life of a person who is saved. Nothing better in all the world. And it's all because the Master cares. There's a hymn that we sometimes sing. It was written by a man. To know the background of the writer of the hymn makes the hymn all the more precious. He was a man whose wife left him in the midst of his days of busy service for the Lord, preaching here and there, never eminently successful, preaching to smaller audiences, and wearing himself out in so doing, and he came home one day to find a note from his wife, "I'm finished, this is it, I'm leaving. I can't take any more of this life, and I'm going to see what the world has to offer me." Talk about a man's ministry shattered. The man was broken. Everything that seemed to matter to him somehow had crumbled. He spent time down in Florida wondering whether he should just jump off the wharf and end it all. And he wrote a hymn that we cherish. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. How I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Dear soul, tonight, he cares. And he longs to bless you right on the seat where you're sitting tonight. He longs to bless you for eternity. Master, carest thou not that we perish? But when you come to Matthew's Gospel, their question there is simply this, their prayer there is simply this, Lord, save us, we perish. I think the emphasis that they have there is on a unique deliverance. There's only one source of their deliverance. There's no one else who can save them. Lord, save us. We perish. Could I emphasize again tonight that there is salvation found in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, I know people think we're narrow-minded, but I want to tell you, we believe it with all our heart. We make no apology for it, and we simply take what the Lord Jesus said to be fact. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't find salvation in any church. You can't find salvation in any faith, no matter how long it may have existed. You cannot find salvation in any earthly personality. Salvation is in Christ alone. Lord, save us. No other source for salvation. Neither is there any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no one else. And there's no way else but this. The Lord Jesus rose on the side of that ship, and he faced the storm. My mind has gone now beyond the storm of wind and waves on the Galilean Sea to the storm that broke over his head when he faced the storm at Calvary. There is no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus facing the storm at Calvary. There was a storm that my sins had caused. And the Lord Jesus must face the storm when he went to die at Calvary. We sing sometimes of that storm, that tempest, awful voice was heard, O Christ, it broke against thee. Thine open bosom was my ward, it braved the storm for me. Thy form was scarred, thy visage marred, now cloudless peace for me. The reason why there is peace for you tonight, dear soul, is because the Savior faced the storm that your sins caused. And the reason why the storm of my sins will never carry me away into judgment is because the storm broke on Christ and He bore the judgment for me. He must face the storm. There's no other way. And there's no other word that will bring salvation but His word. My, how majestic He is as He stands by the side of that ship. I wish I could just convey to you the picture. Look at that old boat reeling and rocking as the winds and the waves are moving that vessel around in that sea. And with solitary dignity and majesty, the Son of God stands by the side of the vessel and He lifts His voice into the winds and says, "Peace! Be still." The word of Christ brought them salvation. And that's just exactly how men and women receive salvation now. It's the word of Christ. Let me tell you that when He faced the storm at Calvary, I can see Him in the midst of that storm. Nails are now through His hands and feet. A crown of thorns has wrung His brow. But with majesty, He cries at the cross, "Finished." There's peace tonight for you, dear sinner, because the work is finished. I was thinking this evening, of a girl that we had great joy in visiting with this past summer. As we tried to help her on this great matter of salvation, because she told us, she said, I am tired of not being saved. I want to be saved. And we were trying to show her how simple God had made His salvation through what the Lord Jesus Christ had done at Calvary. And my partner and I both at the same moment thought of a hymn that we wanted to show her, and we knew that in that home where we were visiting with her there was a large print hymn book. So we both went for the same hymn book, and we opened it, went for the same hymn. And we were interested in showing her the truth that is in that hymn from the Believer's Hymn Book. "Since Thou hast my discharge procured, and freely in my place endured the whole of wrath divine, payment God will not twice demand, first at my bleeding surety's hand, and then again at mine." But we read from the beginning of the hymn, we went through that verse that we thought would be a help to her, and she kept right on reading to the next verse. "Turn then my soul unto Thy rest, the merits of Thy great High Priest speak peace and liberty. Trust in His efficacious blood, nor fear thy banishment from God, since Jesus died for thee." So we waited quietly. And she was looking. Her eyes didn't shift. She was looking still at that hymn. Finally, one of us said to her, "Penny, what's the matter? What are you looking at? Nor fear thy banishment from God, since Jesus died for thee." We waited another moment. Nothing said. And then one of us said to her, "Hey, do you think we're making salvation too simple when we tell you that that's all that is involved, nor fear thy banishment from God, since Jesus died for thee?" And a little girl lifted her eyes to look at us, and she said, "No, that's just exactly what it is. Nor fear thy banishment from God, since Jesus died for thee." Do you know why I'm never going to be lost, never perish in the lake? I fear not banishment from God, for Jesus died for me. There is salvation for you tonight, dear soul. Look away to the Savior that died at Calvary. Trust Him. You can take His word. It is finished. His word will bring peace and salvation tonight. Let us pray. Our Father, we commit Thy word to Thee. How we would love to know that every person who has come into this meeting tonight will never perish. We pray that Thou wilt bless Thy word. Lord, there's not one that we would like to leave go to eternal night. We pray that Thou wilt use Thy word, stir hearts, O God, for sinners to be awakened, for the mighty power of God to do what all the preaching cannot do, that there may be consciences awakened and men stirred tonight to flee from the wrath to come. And we ask Thy blessing that from our gathering tonight there will be souls who will trust the Savior and be safe, never perish, but have everlasting life, we commit thy word to thee and ask thy blessing in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Hi, I'd like to ask you to sing two verses of number 120 in closing. 120, the Lamb of God for sinners died, a victim on the tree. I seek no other argument. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. Let us just sing verses 2 and 3 of this hymn, number 120. Our thanks to so many for being here tonight. And we would remind you again about the meeting tomorrow night and the prayer meeting that is following. It is most encouraging. I was going to use the word wonderful. We do deeply appreciate it to have so many interested and helping in prayer. And we do want to ask that that continue. Verses 2 and 3 of number 120, and our meeting tonight is closed.